We can sing the hymn now. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This reading from Matthew chapter 15 that Caleb just offered to us is a lot like life. And here's what I mean. You can ask a lot of questions of that reading, a lot of questions about what's actually going on, and you will not get answers. Why is Jesus silent when this woman approaches in her need? You can guess, but you won't know. What's the disciples' tone of voice when they apparently want Jesus to just give her what she wants so she'll go away, but Jesus says, no, he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and he doesn't do anything? What's the emotional state of the woman as she continues to approach Jesus? Does Jesus intend to insult her? Does she feel insulted? No answers. This is a lot like life, at least if you're trying to live a life of truth and service as opposed to a superficial life where you just chase what you want and avoid doing hard stuff. Why doesn't Jesus answer this prayer with something other than silence? Why do I struggle so much? Why can't I just be a different person? When will the wars, great and small, be over? You know how it goes. That's how life can be. So there are lots of questions to which this text gives no answers. It does, however, I would suggest, answer one question. And here it is. What does great faith believe about Jesus? You may have noticed from your readings in the Gospels that Jesus is not all that often impressed with the people around him. But to this woman, he actually says, "Oh woman, your faith is great." Now, I know, dogmatically, faith is the gift of God, blah, blah, blah. I understand that. But Jesus, "Oh woman, your faith is great." So I take it to mean that this reading can teach us about what great faith believes. And I would say that there are two things. The first is this. Great faith knows and believes who Jesus really is. See, she's a Gentile, she's a woman, she's a Canaanite. Three strikes and you're out. But she actually comes and she addresses Jesus the way a disciple would. She calls him Lord. In Matthew, only disciples address Jesus as Lord. And she speaks to Jesus as an Israelite would. She calls him Son of David. Is she parroting things that she's heard other people say, or does she really know what she's saying? She knows. It comes clear after Jesus tells her that it's not right to give Israel's gifts to the Gentiles, because Jesus is, after all, the Son of David, and that means he has come from a specific God, there's only one, to fulfill promises related to a specific plan, and you can't just decide to have the kind of Jesus that you want, because God doesn't keep every promise that I can think of. He only keeps the promises that he has made. And Jesus is the Lord, which means that she is not. And of course, it means much more than she or anyone else at this point in Jesus' ministry will ever be able to know until after this Son of David takes up his throne on the cross and dies at the hands of evil men and is vindicated and raised to life as the Lord over death, which means he is the Lord over everything. Lord, Son of David, does she know what she's saying? Yes, and one little word proves it. It's a little odd, but it's a word that the English translations without exception miss, even though the commentaries, without exception, get it. And it's not hard. It's the word gar. For those of you that have not studied Greek, it means for. It means because. She's not arguing with Jesus. There's no but. There's no yes. There's no yes, Lord, but. She is not arguing with Jesus. She is agreeing with Jesus. And then she says why she agrees. She knows that he is Israel's Messiah, and she believes him to be the Lord. She knows that God is keeping his promise to Israel, and that Jesus' authority is all that matters. She says, yes, Lord, because I you're right, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, because the dogs get to eat too from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And that's all I need. So rich and full and gracious is the table of Israel's Messiah and King that the crumbs are all that I need. And I know that there is something here for me. And this is the second thing that great faith believes. She knows who Jesus really is. And she knows that Jesus has something for her. And he says, "A woman, your faith is great." And he gives. Brothers and sisters, here then are truths that we too may believe. Jesus is the Son of David. He is the promised King, hailed and then rejected as he knew he would be. He was crucified on a Friday. And the world was dark. But overcoming every plot and dark dream of every enemy, God raised him from the dead. And he lives. He is exalted to the right hand of the Father. And he is the Lord. And he has something for you. Now, that doesn't make great faith easy. In my own small world of experience, I would say that it can sometimes make things considerably harder, because if Jesus is Lord, then I am not. If Jesus is Lord and he has something for me, he may have something for me that I might not have wanted. Nevertheless, the Son of David is risen, he is the Lord, and he is for you. You have a place with him, yes. You belong to his people, yes. He forgives you, yes. He gives you peace. There is a purpose to your living, and one day there will be full healing and eternal life, body and soul. Great faith knows who Jesus is and believes that he has something for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.